Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, June 22nd, the year of our Lord, 2025, and this is the second Sunday after Pentecost. I believe it is also the first full day of summer. So, happy summer to everybody. Summer is definitely underway here in Pensacola Beach. The tourist season is in full swing. It's fun to see the cyclists and people pushing strollers and getting ready to go to the beaches. And while it creates a little traffic and chaos, there is a joy that comes with it as well. I pray that you're experiencing some of that wherever you are. But it is good to be here. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. And so let's do what we do when we get started in worship together. We begin by breathing in a spirit of thanksgiving, calling to mind the people and the places, the opportunities and situations that fill us with joy, those good and perfect gifts that come from God. So let's do just that. Take a moment right now and take in a big breath and hold on to it. It's a precious gift. And then let it go. And we trust that beautiful, precious gift of life's breath can be followed by yet another one. We hold on to that breath as well. We give thanks to God for each and every breath we take. And as you breathe, call to mind the people that you know best and love most. The opportunities you've had in your life that have made all the difference. Those things that you anticipate with joy. The hard things that have happened that you've come through with great grace. All of these things. Gifts from Almighty God. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky, open your arms out wide, maybe even allow a smile to come to your face. And in this posture and in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin toward the left margin of where you found today's podcast. If you go to the left and you go just below the line there, I can say that, you'll see where it says sermon notes. You click in there and the bulletin will come up for you. And we are blessed today to have Greta Coyle serving as our liturgist. So let's begin.
Call to worship. We gather today, sometimes weary like Elijah, who fled into the wilderness, feeling alone and overwhelmed. We too have moments when we feel the weight of the world and the challenges of our lives. But God sustains us, just as He sustained Elijah with food and drink, giving him the strength for his journey. We seek the strength that comes from the Lord to persevere through our trials and to find Him in the silence. The Lord met Elijah on the mountain, not in the storm, earthquake, or fire, but in a still, small voice. We open our hearts to listen for that gentle whisper to receive God's guidance and peace.
Thank you.
Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus."
Let's take a moment to pray together. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We give you thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word. Help us to listen deeply and intentionally to what it is you're saying to your church. Help us to find peace and quiet and sheer silence of spirit. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction so that we could hear you, so that we could perceive what it is you're saying to each and every one of us as individuals and to all of us collectively as the body of Christ. We pray this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Friends, as we have a change in season, I thought it would be appropriate for us to have a change in biblical focus. And so for the next few weeks, we will be considering readings from the books of 1 and 2 Kings. And we begin this mini-series, if you will, by this story, this telling of the story of Elijah. And we catch up with Elijah in the story where he has found his way out into the wilderness for fear of Queen Jezebel. What has caused this is this wonderful, powerful, victorious moment that Elijah has on Mount Carmel. You can read about it in chapter 18. There's been a showdown between the prophets of Baal. Baal worship has permeated this northern kingdom of Israel. It has taken over and ruined the faith and fidelity of the kingdom. This is pretty much the story of all of 1 and 2 Kings. So there's a moment where Elijah has a bit of a showdown with these prophets of Baal and essentially says, let's see whose God is real. They petition to their gods, nothing happens. Elijah petitions to the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and fire rains down. These prophets end up dead. Elijah understands this in his heart to be perhaps a pivot point. Maybe, just maybe, this kingdom of Israel will get back on track, will bow down before their God. They will repent. They will remove the corrupting influences from their temple. Their worship life will be renewed and revitalized. But that doesn't come to pass. The victory is short-lived. As it says in the scriptures, after we have this moment, this mountaintop moment at Carmel, and we then enter into this 19th chapter, King Ahab told Jezebel, his queen, told her the story of all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." That is her way of saying, "I'm going to kill you. And if I don't, may it be worse for me if I don't kill you." And he knows, Elijah knows, what an evil person this Jezebel is. And so then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left. Judah is the southern kingdom. He belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked the Lord that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Can we hear the heartache and the defeat? He's worked so hard. He has stood up to be a voice, a representative, a prophet, an emissary of the God of Israel, calling them to faith. And it feels in this moment, even after this great victory on the mountain, that it's all for naught, that he has failed entirely. And rather than face being murdered by this corrupt queen and her minions, "God, just take my life. I'm done." And so then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. And there's this is a portion that we didn't have in the original reading. This was considered optional, but I'll read it now. "He lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep, and suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Get up and eat.' He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, 'Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you.' He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days, 40 nights, to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Let's back up for just a minute. Think about where we are. Elijah, just a while ago, was at a moment of triumph that quickly devolved into fear. Fear for his own life and a sense of complete failure, to the point where he's laying under the shade of this tree and just calls out to God, "Just finish me off. I'm a failure. What more is it that I could possibly do? What value do I bring to you? Oh God, just kill me." And he lays down and he goes to sleep, and an angel attends to him. For us as Christians, we can draw this story forward to Jesus' time of temptation in the desert and the provision that is made for him by the angels. We can look to Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer, who was also a bit of a wild man in the wilderness. We can look back to the story of Moses and his wandering for 40 years, this number 40 being the number we pay attention to, and the provision of God, even when it seemed like the journey was futile. God provides, God encourages, and in the strength that God has provided through the service of these angels, he comes to the moment where he has Elijah's attention as he takes shelter in this cave, and he asks the question, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah answers, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." God listens. God responds, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice. This voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah says again, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." The Lord simply says this, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." That's something. Elijah, exhausted, crippled by fear, curls up under a tree and asks God to take his life. Clearly, God has other plans for Elijah, so he nourishes him. He gives him Sabbath rest. Rest here. Eat this food. Get some sleep, because you have a 40 days journey to make. He makes the 40 days journey. gives them a place of shelter in this cave, and then there is a display of natural force. There is a wind and an earthquake, and there's fire. Displays of the forces of nature. But God's not in it. God displays the power that is within the created order. This spirit of nature that he has breathed out. But he's not in it. No. And let's revisit what it says in verse 12. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence, which seems kind of strange. Silence makes no sound. But this isn't about the reverberation of waves bouncing off of one's eardrums. I read this as a piece. That the silence that Elijah experiences is in his soul and in his mind. It's not that there isn't a bird chirping somewhere or the sound of a rock rolling down the hill. He wouldn't be able to hear it if it was, because he is so centered and so focused. There is a stillness that has captured his soul. And in that stillness, God doesn't offer him a long list of instructions. He calls him back to faithfulness. You've seen the mighty display. Wind and earthquake and fire. You've sat in a peacefulness and a stillness. You were able to make this journey, Elijah, because of the provision that I made for you 40 days ago. I am your God, and I have this to say: go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. He is to persevere. God calls Elijah to persist in the work, knowing that the things that he might count as victories or wins, things like what happened on Mount Carmel that day, those will be few and far between. But the point, the mission, and the purpose and the direction of Elijah's life is to go. Every single day, get up and go. Tell them. Remind them, Elijah, who they are. Tell them their origin story. Remind them of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses. Maybe even call them back to the stories of Samuel. When the people called out and they asked for a king, and God warned them, be careful what you're asking for, because earthly kings are corrupt. Earthly kings, the power that they possess will corrupt, as Lord Acton said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And story by story that we get, beginning just right at the beginning with Saul and David and Solomon and on and on and on. There are moments, there are flashes of faithfulness and brilliance, but it's always corrupted. No, Elijah, you persist. You carry this mantle, and then we'll learn that then another will be revealed to take that mantle when we read the stories of Elisha. What do we do on this summer day, so many years removed from this particular story? I think there are a few places for us to find good news and comfort. Because if you read the warnings that are given to the people, if you go back to 1 Samuel, I think that's 1 Samuel chapter 8, somewhere in that neighborhood, you'll see the specifics of God's warning. And you can read God's warning to the people of what a king will do. And you can call that king a prime minister or a mayor or a governor or a president. And it doesn't make a difference what political affiliation they have. And some, yes, are better than others. But at any moment, when we confess any king other than our great God Almighty, we best beware. We best pay attention. We best pay attention to the false promises and the false prophets and the false gods. And as followers in the way of Christ, we must confess Christ as king. What do we know about Jesus as king? He is different than every other king. He is always faithful. He is the king that gives. He never takes. He is the true servant of the poor. He is the speaker of truth, even unto death. But sometimes we're like Elijah. We think we're making a few steps forward, only to feel like we slide all the way back down the hill. And to the point where the striving feels like it's in vain and we just want to give up. And those are the moments I believe God provides us opportunities for rest, that we ought to pay attention to the angels among us who offer us care and comfort, a little something to eat, a good book to read, a cup of coffee, or maybe a good glass of wine with a friend. Because we need strength for the journey ahead. And we'll journey on for a while and we'll see revelations of God and we'll be renewed in strength. When we take a deep breath and we look at the signs and wonders around us, and we embrace the peace of the sheer silence, and we hear God's call, and he says, go. He says, arise and walk. I have made you well. As we enter this summer season with its longer days and its opportunity for different kinds of recreation, especially for those of us in North America, perhaps this is a time for rest and renewal and revitalization, to lay in stores, to shore up our faith, because God is calling us, reminding us that there will be time when we will be sent, when we will be called to go. So embrace this time, my friends. Allow it to be a time of peace and quiet and spiritual renewal, and you will find in it rich good news, to which I say, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of the unnamed faithful, God of the prophets, we call out to you and we pray. And God, we confess. We sin and we fall short, and we fail to trust you. We fail to listen to you. But we come to you in this moment and we name that failure. because we want you in our lives. We need your comfort and your care and your encouragement. And so, God, we pray, take us just as we are, but change us, heal us, and forgive us. You promise that when we come to you with broken spirits and contrite hearts, you will not despise us. You will love us. So we seek to be embraced by your love in this moment, assured of our forgiveness. And in that forgiveness, and for that forgiveness, we give you thanks. And because of that forgiveness, we call to you. We pray to you with our petitions on behalf of friends and family and our community and the people who find themselves in positions of power, this generation of kings. God, make yourself known. Lift up prophets in the corridors of power. Help them to be heard. Give them a hearing. Bless them with the strength and the faith to speak your truth. Prophets mighty and bold like Elijah, but prophets maybe just like us. Maybe our prophetic ministry is in our home or in our book club or Bible study, in our exercise class or at our office. But help us. When you inspire us, when we've considered your word and the gift of your peace, of divine silence, encourage us, O God. Give us strength. And you know, each and every one of us carries around these prayer lists, these joys and concerns that occupy a lot of our thinking. Sometimes we write them down. And we pray to receive a bit of what we've read today about meeting you in quiet. So we take an opportunity to share these lists with you, to hand them over to you, and to sit quietly and listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you, Lord, for the inheritance of our faith, for our songs and our sacred stories, our rites and our rituals and our prayers. Chief among them, this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will all do so with a renewed hope, with an appreciation of moments of rest and renewal and Sabbath that God provides. Practice some times of stillness this week. Seek moments of sheer silence so that we might hear the voice of God. Our God, the one we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who speaks to you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.